number one, following the guidance of nature. Hi, I want to start this whole podcast by telling a story that I often tell, but that I had never written about until I decided to begin the book with it. It illustrates the idea that the I that I think I am, I'm not in charge of very much at all, and I'm really following the guidance of something at all times, and if I'm doing spiritual work, then I'm following the guidance of something that makes sense in a far grander way than the sense my small self can make of things. One day several years ago, I had some writing to do. It was a Sunday, and my son had a birthday party to attend, which gave me the perfect opportunity to get off by myself and do my work. I would drop him off at his friend's house in Hancock Park, then camp out at a local coffee shop on Larchmont Boulevard. When I arrived, there was one table open. I got my coffee, sat down, and opened my notebook. And before my pen could even hit the paper, I heard my name, Jeff. How are you? And so I looked up to see Peter, a man I'd known a little bit for a long time. Our paths crossed every few months, but in the 20 years we'd known each other, we'd never really hung out very much. We chatted. And now here he was with his wife, whom I'd never met. They looked so happy to see me. It was strange, really. I didn't really think that all that many people were happy to see me in those days, but they were, and I couldn't help myself. I asked if they'd like to join me. While inside, a voice was repeating, "Please say no, please say no." Of course, they said, "We'd love to." So I set my pen and paper aside, and I settled in. "We're pretending to be on vacation here in Los Angeles," they told me. Their 12-year-old son was studying tuba at brass camp, and so they'd had the weekend to themselves, and this was their last day together. The night before, they'd spent in Santa Monica in a hotel on the beach, and now they were having the Larchmont experience. And for the next hour, Peter and Christy told me the story of their life together, which was really the story of their love affair. Now, Peter was a television director, and he had stories about poorly behaved actors he'd met along the way. And Christy had worked as an A&R rep for A&M Records, and she told us about stories of traveling through Europe with Cool and the gang and ending up with their limo in a canal in Amsterdam and other exciting adventures of the music industry. There were so many stories that they told about themselves together and about their lives separately. And every once in a while, they would look at each other and say, "You know, Jeff doesn't want to hear about this. Let's talk about something else." And then somehow we would just slide right back into the story of their life together. Now, I'd been meditating long enough to know this was about something. I had put my writing away without a second thought. Maybe they need to learn how to meditate, I thought, even though I wasn't a teacher at that time. I mean, everyone needs to know how to meditate. Then they talked about Christy's fibromyalgia, and I thought, oh, maybe she needs to see our Ayurvedic doctor, Dr. J. Maybe that's it, because clearly it was about something. I could feel that it mattered far more than anything I had planned for the day. It was fascinating, really. And by this time, I was happy just to sit there as long as it took. When Christy got up to use the facilities, I said to Peter, "My God, what a delight she is. Just beautiful inside and out. And the two of you together." And Peter said, "Yeah, she's really something." And he nodded and smiled. And then I told him, "You know, I'm sitting here watching the two of you fall in love all over again." And he looked at me and he said, "Really? You see that?" I nodded and said, "Yeah." He said, "Because that's what I feel too." It's so clear. And Christy came back to the table, and Peter told her, you know, what I'd said, and she agreed. She was having the same experience too, and the three of us just sat there for the longest time, just being with each other and looking into each other's eyes, and you know, we were free and open and alive, and it was profound and special, and nothing needed to be said about it at all. So we finished up talking, and before they left, I asked Peter to speak at a gathering I was hosting the following Wednesday. He said he'd love to. So we exchanged contact information, hugged goodbye, and just went back to our lives. I picked up my son. They picked up their son from brass camp, and life continued. Now, that night, I sent Peter an email telling him where and when we were going to meet. I didn't hear back from him that night or the next day. So on Tuesday morning, I called. And after several rings, a woman picked up the phone. It wasn't Christy. And I said, "Hi, is Peter there?" And she said, who is this, please?" I said, "Well, just tell him it's Jeff. He'll know what it's about." And she said, "One moment, please." And the phone clattered down, and after some time, Christy got on and said, "Is it Jeff?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Jeff from Sunday?" I said, "Yes, it's Jeff." And Christy said, "He died. Can you believe it?" "What?" I said. And she said, "Yesterday morning, we all had that thing together on Sunday. And yesterday he went out to walk the dog and he died." We spent the next 45 minutes talking. This woman I'd met just 2 days before. And we talked about Peter and death and love and what it all might mean. And she asked me to speak at the memorial service later that week. And of course I agreed. So I was not a teacher at the time. I wasn't a public speaker, but I showed up Saturday morning to the chapel and I told the story of our experience together. I said, I don't know Peter that well. I shouldn't be up here talking. His brothers are here. His dear, longtime friends are here. But I'm here to tell you about what happened the day before he passed. And I proceeded to tell the story, and Christy, sitting by herself in front of everyone else, was nodding and looking at me and then pointing at me and looking back at her family and saying, this happened. This is real. This is what Peter and I had. And it was clear to me, and I think to everyone there, that this connection had to happen for these two souls to be able to continue. Peter couldn't leave without Christy knowing how much she meant to him. And Christy had to know the truth of what she and Peter had shared, so that she'd have the strength to continue and to raise their child alone. What was required on my part was to have the sensitivity to keep my mouth closed and to listen, simply to witness and reflect what I saw and I heard and experienced of the two of them together. What was needed in that moment, in effect, was an angel. And I'm not saying that I was an angel. I'm saying that I got to stand in as one that day. And I was able to follow that because the voice of Spirit within me was so loud that day that the voice of what I needed didn't stand a chance. It was one of the most profound experiences I've ever had. It required virtually nothing on my part other than to be present, which, as it turns out, is just about everything. This is what nature wants of us, to be available as expressions of itself and witnesses for itself and supporters of itself. It uses our desires and our ideas of what's supposed to be happening to get us to where consciousness or nature needs us. And nature said to me, "You really need to do some writing." So that's what I set out to do. And once nature had me where it needed me, it made me sensitive enough to feel what needed to happen, so I could let go of what I thought should happen. The result was the best possible outcome for Peter and for Christy, for me, and for the whole of nature itself. Nature wants to enjoy itself and uplift itself in all ways, at all times, through each of us. When I listen for its quiet voice within, it never fails me. Nature always shows us the next right action, and when we follow its guidance, what we call the miraculous becomes a part of our everyday life. Today, I will listen for the voice of guidance that comes from someplace deeper than my thinking. And I will do something that feels right, that feels in alignment with that guidance, even if it makes no sense at all to my mind. Thanks for listening to Embracing Bliss. I started this podcast and the book it's based on to offer a daily reminder to myself as well as to you that we have the freedom to choose happiness. And if ever we needed happiness and freedom to choose in this world, now would be that time. So please do share it with someone you love, send it to a friend, and also please stay in touch. Links for Instagram, the book Embracing Bliss, and to sign up for my newsletter can all be found in the show notes. Until next time, have a great day.